You're slightly terrific, speaking specifically, slightly gigantic, meaning romantically, more than stupendous. My love's tremendous for.
Welcome to the new 52 review, episode 17, Eric.
Ooh, 17.
Woo-wee. Just like that Winger song, Eric, that you used to jive to as a youngster. 17.
Jive.
This is Mr. Terrific, Volume 1, Mind Games. Hoo-wee. Some of these books, and even Simon on the Slack chat was talking, and he's like, you know what? He was looking forward to a lot of these books, and so was I. A lot of the books that were canceled early. This only made it to 8 issues, which are this whole volume. And one of the things about that is this was canceled before we even had a site. So we joined in like 2 years after the new 52 started.
This got canceled before I even got back into comic books.
Yes, yeah. So the big issue is when we got into this and started doing our site, a lot of the things, like say I started to review or you were reviewing Batman and Robin, say.
Right.
You would definitely go back and catch up to it and read so you knew what happened before. That was just your due diligence, Eric, that you would do. Something like a Mr. Terrific, not really a lot of reason to. Maybe to kind of get a little bit of what's going on to go into Earth 2 later, because that's where this book kind of ends, with Mr. Terrific heading off to Earth 2. But believe me, if this first volume, as much as I've gone through so far, you didn't need it.
That's the thing. It's like I started out, you know, the New 52 when Earth 2 was announced and it came out. Yeah. I'm like, all right, I'm all about this whole idea, reimagining the Golden Age heroes in younger forms. It's all revamped and whatnot. Yes. So I got that. I saw that Mr. Terrific was in it, and I found out that, yo, he had his own title, and he went to this Earth, too. So I went back. Originally, I was going to pick up the Mr. Terrific books because I am a Mr. Terrific fan.
Yes.
I saw the revamp of what the character looked like for the New 52 with the freaking, like, the red T on his face and just the whole new costume. I'm like, you know what? I don't like this. I am not picking this up because they ruined my character in my mind just the way he looks. He's not even cool looking anymore
different
from the way he was.
And this was not well reviewed. I'll tell you that. So even with the fact that we jumped on with the New 52 and we kind of were 2 years in, I saw the reviews before this. This and Static Shock really were ones that people just were like, I don't, you know, you don't have to go. And the other thing about it is funny because it does end with the call out at the very, very end when we get to it, that it continues in issue 2 of Earth 2. But it did end in April of 2012. They ended up, I think, coming back with this number 8 issue way, way past. Actually, they had this, and then I think people had to wait a while for the Earth 2 book to come around. It's a very odd timing. There's only 8 issues. This was a first wave book. So when Earth 2 was announced, way later than this kind of joined in, but really, it's not great. I'll just warn you guys right now, you're not going to hear glowing talk from neither me or Eric about this, but we'll get into it right now. It is Mr. Terrific, Volume 1, Mind Games, written by Eric Wallace, the art team of Gianluca Gugliotta, Wayne Fauncher, Michael Atea, and Dave Sharp. And how DC describes this volume: collecting the DC Comics New 52 series, introducing the electrifying new villain Brainstorm, who is determined to bring Los Angeles to its knees, beginning with Michael Holt. This collects new Mr. Terrific number 1 through 8, the entire New 52 series. And the problem you're going to have with this, and if you are reading some of the stuff that goes on, including like a Brainstorm, not in it a lot. I mean, this isn't like there's 8 issues of Brainstorm. There's a couple other times that we'll mention that things were being set up for later in the series. You know, you're not going to write the first or second issue of a series and not think that it's going to continue on. You know, you're going to set up
seeds for the remaining whole beginning here, we have him going after Miles Dalton in the beginning, like in England. He's going after this guy of Dalton Industries who has a big red, like, power armor suit. And he takes him out almost. It's almost like a cold open to this whole first arc. And Dalton was supposed to come back. Eric Wallace said, like, issue 9 of the series. So it was going to do this whole thing where, you know, all of the freaking villains that he's fought up to this point were supposed to get together to take out Mr. Terrific. Was going to be called the Dalton Gang. And he thought that was really funny. But this character is supposed to be, like, you know, Red Dragon, but he never got to really revisit it.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, I've already said, there's 8 issues. Legitimately, there's 7, and then an 8th issue that is tacked on to end the series and move it forward, like we said, for the character to go to Earth 2. If it didn't end, that last issue would have been something starting a new arc. Maybe it would have even been then, but it was originally released in September 14th of 2011. That's September when all the new 52 books came out. And the volume, the trade that we're talking about, came out June 13th. 2012. And before we even go, I just want to tell you that the aggregate score for all 8 of these issues on Comic Book Roundup, where we always go for the scores, it was a 5.5 out of 10.
Yep.
And it started off bad. There was never really a well-reviewed issue. And in fact, the 7th issue, there wasn't even a review for. And then the 8th and final issue, 1 review. That's how much people just did not care about this book. And it's a shame, because I do like Mr. Terrific. I don't think that he really makes me want to like him in this. Like,
no.
You said, the look is a revamped look, but even so, it's the problem that you have a lot of times with these books, and I think it's one of the problems with Mr. Terrific here, is that he is a solo character. He's a guy who has a lot of inner monologue going, and it is tough. It's very tough to read. It's a boring read, if
and
you
I'm telling you,
me
like,
anything.
Going from this to Earth 2, though, I realize he is a better supporting character than he is a freaking main character of anything.
I agree.
He has his techno jargon, which he'll say to us. Maybe somebody else will interpret for us if he's around other people. That'd be nice.
When he's just talking
to
himself,
his whole goddamn do.
Yeah, he's
I don't know
the
what
third.
The fuck he's talking about.
He's the third smartest person in the DCU.
And he lets
unfortunately.
You know it.
Yeah, unfortunately, me and Eric are the 1,000,000th and 52nd and 53rd, so we don't know what he's saying half the time.
That's even putting us way up there.
Yeah, I'm telling you, when he starts going into his mumbo jumbo, he needs somebody there. Like you said, it would have been a great idea. Now, at one point, when we get into this, there is a young kid that seems to be almost like that he would have become a supporting character in this.
Right.
Maybe that would have helped, but even that kid's a genius, so who knows. But it does start. It starts in jolly old England, Eric, and it's a very cold open that this is about the best action that you're going to get in this whole volume, where there is this Dalton who you said was going to end up being called the Red Dragon. Mr. Terrific's there. This guy has a mecha suit, and it's a big kind of a fight and chase through London.
And the whole thing is, you know, Mr. Terrific, for some reason, was supposed to look into Dalton Industries to find out if they were up in their weaponry game, working
up
for mercenaries and whatnot.
Yep.
And it looks like he blew his cover, and they found out, and now Dalton has actually taken it on himself to take out Mr. Terrific himself.
Yeah, and Mr. Terrific's flying through the air on his T-spheres. And
which I
really
think looks really cool. Even
it
though
does
I do not
cool.
like the redesign of the character, I thought this whole aspect of him flying around with the T-spheres on his, like, holding one and then have the other two on his feet, I thought it was really kind of a cool look to him.
And it is, I'm telling you, from the beginning, when we actually, me and you started talking about comics when I first started working with you, and whenever it was, but one of the things that we brought up, or you brought up early, was Mr. Terrific. And remember, I kept calling him T-Balls.
Yep.
I kept calling him, and I said to you, the goofiest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I'll tell you, yeah, it looks okay. Still the goofiest thing ever. And I think that Eric Wallace, he relies a lot on the T-spheres, which you would, but again, because this is supposed to be, you know, a solo superhero, the T-spheres are fine, but they're not adding anything for me to the character. And plus, his character work on this with Mr. Terrific, to me, is horrible, because there's a lot of Mr. Terrific telling you what you're supposed to think about him. And that goes in, but as we go, it starts off, like I said, it's actually a pretty cool start, where you have Dalton chasing him down. He's in London. He ends up going to the London Eye
and
using
that. And before
that,
on the third page, we do have Pandora standing in the crowd as freaking Dalton goes after Mr. Terrific.
Yeah, and that's where Pandora is. She's sitting in the crowd while he flies over, while Dalton's chasing him, shooting and blowing up buildings. And then you said you didn't realize there's some English, you know, British jargon where the one
looks
guy
looks like
goes,
a space biker riding through pretty snooker ball. I'm like, yeah, I don't know what the fuck a snooker ball is.
It's just like a pool type game in England. And then the one girl's like, nice bum. And then how can you tell from there? I just can. But he ends up using his smarts, which he should.
That's the thing is, look at this crowd, though, before the whole thing. It's like everybody, people were taking pictures and pointing. They're checking out his
bum. Like those guys making out?
Then you just have a couple making out. I'm like, what are they
doing? They're making out. Hey, a crowd's gathered. They're making out. They think that World War II just ended, Eric.
That's how I imagined it.
That's what it looks like.
Oh, man, sure, let's make out.
Maybe they're just like, well, you know what? A guy just flew by on goddamn balls. The world's ending. Let's kiss. But he takes him. He lures him to the London Eye, which, if you're not aware, that is the big Ferris wheel in London.
I was not aware until this.
Yeah, and
I'm
then
like,
uses
all right,
it.
Mr. Terrific taught me something, Jim.
Yep, he did. And uses that to magnetize Dalton's suit, which then hooks him onto the eye and then punches him out. And then, yeah, you have people on the, you know, the observation deck type of thing.
It's at this point, too, where I realize that this book just might be way over my head. It's like this. Dalton gets magnetized to the London Eye. He's like, what did you do? I blasted your copper-lined armor with positive and negative ions.
Yeah.
You magnetized me? You're not the only one who took a first, like, in physics. I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah, you know what's the best? He doesn't even say armor. I blasted your copper-lined Armani. You know, he's even getting fancy by, you know, your suit. I'm like, nonsense. But then you have two people that are like, hey, nice work, mate. Got a name? And that sounds more Australian, though. Eric. But Mr. Terrific's like, Mr. Terrific, some people call me the third smartest man in the world. Does that bother you being third? Actually, a simple thanks, black guy, for saving us. Where are you going with this? Oh, my goodness gracious.
Like, is that what you want? You want me to point out? Thanks, black man.
Yeah, thanks, black guy. Hey, thanks a lot, black guy. But yeah, they're going. And then he actually thinks
back. And he's saying it to a black man himself.
Yeah, it does look like that. Yeah. And then he's thinking back, and he's thinking back at how his life has become what it is. Because at one point he had it all, Eric. He had his company. Obviously, his company, Holt Industries, is a huge deal. But it was all for his wife, Paula. And he was driving to dinner. He was late. I am glad. I thought that at a point, what Eric Wallace was trying to do was make it seem like because Michael was late for dinner is why she died. But it ends up that his wife was driving to dinner.
Well, he does blame himself for that whole idea that maybe if he was there, it wouldn't have happened.
It doesn't seem like if he was there, but it doesn't really, he doesn't dwell on it being his fault. And then later on finds out it really wasn't. But it seems like his wife died because what was spelled out, her GPS went off, Eric, because it said, take the next right into a truck. Car's overturned. Yes, she did. And she was dying. And the big thing here was, as she was dying, she's like, promise, don't stop your research. Help the future. You know what? You would have done it for your son. And then he realizes, holy shit, she was pregnant, which later even says they were trying for a while. So, you know, it's a tragic deal. But he goes from there trying to make a quantum experiment. He's trying to make his dimensional rift, which we know later
now,
he does.
Thing, though, when we are at the freaking, like, the cemetery for this thing, you have Paula's casket, and you have, like, a smaller casket, but not that much smaller. And is that supposed to be the baby they would have taken out of her dead body at that point and buried separately?
They took the fetus out and buried it separately, Eric. I don't know. That's what I got.
I'm just looking at these two caskets. I'm like, that just seems weird to me.
That's her upper torso, and then the other's her legs, Eric.
Oh, God, she has long legs.
That was a bad accident. But, yeah, I think that it's supposed to throw there. I just want to know if that's Amanda Waller in the background. There's just somebody at the very back that kind of looks like it would be Amanda Waller just standing there. But, yeah, after that, he seemed to, like, say, hey, you know what? I'm going to rely on the only thing that has helped me through any time
that
I've had
problems. Science is
where
it's
at. Yeah, science, yeah. God's dead. I'm going with science. But then he can't seem to work this dimensional rift experiment. And then basically he's like, nope, I'm killing myself with the experiment. He's going to kill himself. As he does, the rift opens and out comes
a
crazy looking
body. He is working on this whole rift experiment. He wants to open up a rift to another dimension, to another world, whatever.
Which
he eventually does.
Yeah.
But when, like, in my mind, he had been working on this before Paula died and shit like this. Now it's fucking buckle down time, get it done, because Paula and my little baby would have wanted me to fix the future and all this shit. Why would he build a freaking big red button that says warning self-destruct system?
Yeah, because he wants to let everybody know that he, I don't know.
It's like, such like, a weird thing. Why would you build that into it?
That is just like the whole, like a bad guy monologuing. If you build something like this, Eric, you always have to have a big red button that says warning self-destruct system, just so he knows it's there. But yeah, he's about to kill himself and the rift opens and a guy comes out and basically says, you know, don't give up. I have a message for you from the future. Don't give up. And then basically says, I'm your son. And then the thing blows up and he doesn't give up then. You know, now we know why he continued, basically because his future son, a other dimension son, a other timeline. Well, you don't know. We don't know what's going on there. But, you know, he recognized them and really does think, yeah, that was my son.
And calls him Double A Ron because that's what him and Paul were going to call their son if they had one.
And he's talking to Karen Starr, which is weird because all of a sudden you, boom, there's Power Girl. Power Girl is in this, but only as Karen Starr throughout this.
The thing is, at first I didn't even get the idea it was Karen Starr. Yeah, she looks like Power Girl, but you have a lot of big titty fucking white blonde haired girls in different comic books. But just calling her Karen, I didn't get the idea until later on in the trade they said Miss Starr. I'm like, shit, it's Karen Starr. All right,
Power Girl's now. Yeah, and the funny thing is, I thought that was cool. And when I first saw Karen, I was like, huh, that's weird. And then I was looking up some things and I saw, it's Karen Starr. And the thing is there. And it says that, you know what it was? It was when she's like, oh, she was just in for a day or two, Starware business. And I was like, huh, Karen Starr. So then you get that. But there's times in this, especially this first part we're talking about, where people could die and she's there. She is steadfast on not getting rid of that secret identity. Like is not going to give it up. But yeah, they're just talking just to set up that they kind of have a relationship. They don't really go into it fully.
Well, she won't give up that secret identity. She's willing to give up everything else.
Yeah, she looks like she's given up everything. It looks like she did. But yeah, she's in for a couple days to thrill Eric in LA. And he has, Michael Holt has a dinner to go to, a benefit, and asks her, will you go with me as a date? In the meantime, you go downtown LA, and this guy all of a sudden is possessed. This guy's eating lunch, looks like a pig, shit going all over the place, but all of a sudden he's possessed. You see his eyes kind of glow, a little glowing shit behind him, and immediately becomes very aggressive and very mean. He makes fun of the waitress, basically says she should be a hooker.
He's having a bad day. Everyone's like, oh my God, he's possessed because he's mean to the waitress. No, he pretty much, in my mind, people say this to waitresses every day in Los Angeles.
That's like, why.
You're just a freaking cow who came to LA to have big freaking Oscar dreams in your eyes, but you know, you're freaking dressed a little too tight and you're never going to make it, baby.
Yeah, well, that's why I think they had to make it so his eyes glow. You'd be like, what a fucking asshole. Because we don't know him. But he starts walking, a guy, hey, you know, some spare change, baby? And he's like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to give you a spare fucking smash and rip your goddamn head off. In the meantime, this guy who seemed to own the cafe, or do you think he owned it? It seemed like he was
in
a guy.
In my mind, he owns the cafe, but doesn't have a dental plan.
I was
going to
say, he should get a dental plan. This guy has the worst teeth ever. Comes out with a bat. Like, what is he going to do? And then sees this guy just rip this guy's head off. I don't even know how you can. He smashes him into the car.
In my mind, he was breaking his neck, but there's so much blood.
There's so much blood, and it's all over this car that the guy was leaned against. But in the meantime, he gets taken downtown. He's been writing all of these integers.
That freaking, you know, that shitty tooth fucking man with the bat, he comes out. Hey, Jake, he sees this. Oh, man, my teeth are way too bad for this shit. I'm out of here.
He just turns around. Look at me. I'm no fancy man. I got these teeth. It looks like bum fights were about to break out. they go, and this guy was arrested, and they look into
it. Looks like that one character from the Boondocks. Fucking, what the hell is his name?
I can't even remember. I know who you're talking to.
God damn it. I can't think of his name.
That they go, and the guy is arrested, and the LAPD actually is like, you know what? There's something off here. This guy, nothing was happening. He went to lunch, then flipped out. And now he's writing all of these formulas and things like that. So they ended up calling Mr. Terrific. He comes down and there's things. And he's like, this is well beyond what this guy would be able to do. Something's going on here. And then he goes off. He wants to figure out what's going on. Maybe somebody's being possessed, that sort of thing. And then we get the first trip to the ninth dimension, into his, you know, his sanctuary, the T-Sanctuary, which is
T-Sanctuary in the ninth dimension. Four goddamn dimensions higher than the fifth dimension where Mixelplig lives.
Yep, located at fixed coordinates within the ninth dimension. But this is where he goes to kind of do experiments. He goes to kind of, you know, clear his thoughts and things like that. But he's trying to figure out what happened to this guy.
It truly is the Fortress of Solitude.
Yes, this Edgar Hollowitz, who was this bad guy, ended up... His intelligence just spiked. It ended up, and it continues to grow. They said they're looking at it. It continues to grow.
He saw that waitress's intelligence grew to the point where he realized she was a whore.
Yeah, and so now he's going insane and doing all this, but he's going to keep an eye on him. And then they go off to this benefit at this Conscientia Institute in Santa Barbara, California. And that's where it is a benefit for the senator that Michael Holt is. He likes. He's going to support, even though they're not the same political party. This guy, you know, is a guy of science. He goes against his party. There's a little political deal here. He's a Republican, but doesn't want to get rid of science in schools. So,
and that's Michael Holt's freaking bread and butter, right there.
Yeah,
so
and that's what Michael Holt goes. Yeah, and basically, then you are introduced to the other girl in this that is kind of the, well, she wants
Akilah?
To be. Yeah, Akilah, she wants to be Michael Holt's girlfriend. She works with him at Holt Industries, kind of like the second-in-command kind of deal going. Almost like a personal secretary, but very high up. He trusts her with all this. But she wants to be romantic. He doesn't seem to. She has issues with Karen Starr.
I think she drank a little too much at this gala because the whole thing, she is creating such a scene with Karen Starr.
Oh, such a bad
this whole
scene.
Thing. Like, you know, I might be smart, but I'm not, you know, runway model freaking have a like one like a Fortune 500 company freaking you know smart. I'm like, god damn it, you're just causing such a scene here.
Oh, she is.
No,
and even to the
it.
Point where there's this argument is basically Karen saying, I get it, it's because I'm white, and then she goes, no, I'm black, which means I'm built to handle things you can't even imagine. And it goes with that, and it's like, hoo-wee, they are. And it's funny because you're looking and nobody's really paying attention to them.
Oh, no, they're paying attention. They're doing
no,
the
I'm
whole,
telling
like,
you, they are not.
In. They're not looking.
I don't think anybody's even that. There's the party goes from
this.
Being
this is awkward as fuck.
Yeah, there's nobody. They're all just going on because nobody ever says anything. It just goes. But in the meantime, you have Michael Holt and the senator going off to see. And this is where shit starts getting crazy because they go off to see the CEEN, the scene, the crystalline electromagnetic energy node. That is in this building because what it does is it can take the, you know, the kinetic energy of earthquakes, even if there's a little bit of an earthquake, and stores it so that this building is pretty much the safest building in California.
Earthquake-proof.
Yeah. And what happens then is you see that Michael gets a little bit of, he hears the sound, he starts getting a little bit of a reaction, and then he becomes a douchebag, just like that guy in the diner, goes up to this thing, and just, for some reason, it stops. It's a great idea. You know, it takes the energy of the earthquake and stores it. Why is there a place where you can boop, 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 and it goes,
you know,
wouldn't
not
this,
only a place, it's right in the goddamn
right there.
Lobby.
Wouldn't this have something where you'd have it dissipate the energy gradually as it goes so that it doesn't just store all of it to make it almost a nuclear explosion when it happens?
Oh, no, man.
Nonsense.
They got to this whole part, too. I'm like, you're talking over my goddamn head again.
Yeah, because they're going on about how all this is, but that's where when Michael Holt just is like, you're awful, you know, you're an SOB, I should have, you know, I don't even know why I support you, and then basically sets this thing off and causes
I just realized that girl's name is not Akilah, it's Alika.
Okay, Alika. Yeah, and starts off, there's an earthquake just going through this building. There is Karen, who just doesn't even, you know, there's people who are probably going to die here. She's just there. She's not going to turn into the Power Girl. But the senator's like, well, you know, what's happening? Why are you doing this? And it ends with him saying, Michael Holt standing above to kill you, Senator. And I'll tell you, even with this whole thing and the jargon and things like that, this isn't a great opening issue. But I also had problems with, there is points where it's hard to even tell who's who. I'm watching these people going back and forth, and I'm like, I don't even know what's going on. In the meantime, you go from there. Everybody's trying to save everybody. But again, Michael Holt's bad, but he realizes the way he could get out of this, he has a T-sphere in his pocket, and he reboots his brain. Is what happens. He
I'm
reboots
sorry,
his brain.
The T-spheres in this comic are a lot like Doctor Who's goddamn sonic screwdriver. It can do anything you need it to do at any given time.
That's one of the reasons why I don't like them. because they just, they can do anything. And yeah, he reboots his brain, which makes it so that he's no longer being controlled, and then goes to work on trying to, he goes to the scene's processing chamber, and boy, the mumbo jumbo that starts here, because he's going to flood the room with the Bose-Einstein condensates. I'm going to create a density inversion inside the scene's resonator.
What?
The best is you have Power Girl there. Karen's just like, okay, I get it. She says, I have no idea what you're doing, but then she seems to. But he's like, oh, you didn't understand that. Well, it's the scene is expelling ultrasonic waves to create mega tremors. The only way to stop them is by gathering those waves and trapping them permanently. You know what to do? And then basically he's causing a sonic black hole. That's how they explain it. And then they even use liquid nitrogen later because that flash freezes those condensates, Eric. And you go and he's ending up freezing it. So he freezes the vortex thing. It is such mumbo jumbo. And he contains the event horizon.
If you don't realize that this is Power Girl, watching this whole thing play out is such a weird thing because she is not doing anything really to help. At one part, she has to help him take this freaking condensate or goddamn conduit or whatever the fuck you want to call it and pull it off the wall so they can freaking flash freeze this damn thing. Like, come on, Karen, help me out here. And like, maybe you could say to yourself, okay, she did the heavy lifting here and actually allowed it so it did break off and they can get it where it needed to go. But you don't see any Power Girl action here. And by the end, the whole idea of this jargon and Mr. Terrific doing this whole thing where he has no one to really play off except for his own mind.
Yep.
This might have been a cool idea, Power Girl, Mr.
It might have been a cool idea. The problem that I think that what he has with Mr. Terrific, Eric Wallace writing this, is kind of what I think some people have the problem with Cyborg. When you have Cyborg, and what this, the problem with this is you have the third smartest man. You have him right here. It's Mr. Terrific. You don't have to have him talk down to everyone, including the reader. Don't make it so that I know he's smart. You've already said this. This doesn't mean that when he says, because the liquid nitrogen while he's going, don't let the liquid nitrogen touch you. A few drops are enough to freeze dermal tissue. Now, that's fine, but why not just have him say, listen, Karen, don't let it touch you. You'll freeze. You don't have to get too fancy with it, but he gets way fancy.
The parallels of Cyborg don't stop with this whole thing because even when we get the friggin', what's it, Brainstorm? The whole idea where Mr. Terrific's villains are people who affect his mind, like it's like you have Cyborg who is a cyborg, so all his villains have to be technological goddamn abominations. Yep. Here's the freaking whole thing dealing with the whole brain idea as well.
It is
very close. It's like the same goddamn thing.
Yeah, and Michael Holt's lucky because afterwards the senator says, I think something went wrong with Michael Holt, Mr. Holt. I'm not going to press charges, but I hope, you know, maybe he can, you know, get some
better
help
man
or something.
Than me.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, there's Michael Holt who just almost killed everyone. He's not Mr. Mr. Miracle, but he goes off scot-free, Eric. I just blew my joke. And then that's where you go off somewhere on the Californian coast, and we meet our villain, who is Brainwave, and he doesn't say
Brainwave. I don't know why I said Brainstorm. Brainwave.
Yeah, and it's just, again, it's such a generic just deal where we do find out later what's going on with him, but he's just there and he's doing his all. He wants to create the all mind, and like you said, you don't have to have just villains that are trying to gain intelligence or trying to steal intelligence from Michael Holt, but you do. Well, we go back to Holt Industries and you basically get this whole thing set up that I think would have, you know, panned out even more later, where Holt Industries, the people there, they're not so down with Michael being the head because he has not named a successor. He hasn't named anybody to be the successor, and they want him to, and are even getting to the point
and
where
he even throws some goddamn shade at Oliver Queen. Like, Oliver this isn't Q-Corp. This is Holt Industries. Yeah. You need me here.
And it's funny when he says that, I get the idea that they have that same problem, though. He doesn't show up for meetings. He's not around because he's doing his, you know, Mr. Terrific stuff. But this is where he does basically say, I'm the company. Like, everything that's going on, I make. You motherfuckers, you need me, so shut the fuck up, and basically ends it, and like, we're done. And this is where Alika's like, you know what? my job is on the line too. And all these people are saying is we have a company that we want to have jobs, but
we would like to run this like a company, Michael.
Yeah, and everything seems to be like on his schedule, or you know, when the whim hits him, he'll make seven things and then they'll have all their money again. But it just, they want to have somebody named. Now again, it seems to be a setup. So the minute that he names a successor, they might have the idea that they're going to bump him off. Yeah. Instead though, they have to kind of go a little different way where they are going to pretty much look like they're going to buy him out. They're going to have this guy who was his roommate at MIT. He has his own company. He just looks like a scumbag and says, you know, Michael went on. He graduated early. I got bored and dropped out, but we're both rich. We're both richer than God. Here we are.
All right.
And he is going to help them. He's going to buy out Holt Industries, it seems, is the plan. And then you have this guy, Donald. And this is a guy in Holt Industries, Donald, who basically, it seems like his prize that he wants, if they buy it out, he wants, you know, Alika or what. It's very odd that he's like basically thinks that he can just demand her love. But he's like, you know what? You know, you'll be in power and, you know, ladies like the power. I'm telling you, it's a struggle getting through this. You go, and then he's talking to Karen, and this is just a setup to me to show you that he has all this crazy tech. He goes.
And this one bit of crazy tech is cool because while he is in the ninth dimension at his T sanctuary, friggin', he has this holographic kind of Skype technology, which, you know, he is doing all this crazy technological shit in his Mr. Terrific costume. But what is portrayed to Karen Starr is just an avatar of him in a regular
suit. So he's going holographic.
That's kind of a cool idea. Yeah. That's why, in my mind, the whole video phone aspect never like took off in the 90s. Because you don't want to look like shit when you answer the phone. Like you got fucking like Cheeto fucking dust all over your fucking mouth and shit like that.
What's going to happen is some lady's going to answer the phone, and 9 out of 10 times it's going to be a dick. That's all it's going to be.
It's always going to be dicks.
It's like chat roulette. Dick, dick, dick. Guy, dick. Ew. There you go. It keeps going. But yeah, he's just, you know, he talks to her. It's, again, I think it's just a setup that he has this technology. Also, he's doing scans on himself and things like that. But then he goes
to make sure his brain's still fucking working
properly. Yeah, he wants to go. Also, that kind of sets up to see later when he can kind of – it seems like he probably does this occasionally anyway, just so he has – you know, if something does go wrong, he can check it out. But then he heads off the ninth dimension again.
Well, even before that, when we see the whole idea where he's getting ready to go – and he has the T-sphere, and he puts it up to his temple, and then it starts, you know, becoming like liquid metal to make that T-mask on his face.
Mask, yes.
That's kind of cool. It's also kind of cool. Weird.
It is. Well, he goes off, and with the ninth dimension, while he's going through it, you see these voices that are, you know, as he goes, and they're like, it didn't hear us. We must find a way to reach it. They'll be coming soon. And this is all just set up for the next story that we get in this ninth dimension. But in the meantime,
which seems so weird to see out with this whole, like, you know, friggin', you know, Michael Holt goes to ninth dimensional space to fight fucking dimensional aliens kind of story arc from where we are right now with Brainwave.
It's so
This is just moving right along. It's chock packed full of goddamn techno jargon, but it's moving right along.
Hell, he goes, he ends up at the mall, a mall in Los Angeles. He's walking through. It's an open air mall type deal. And he's walking through. These kids are all into him.
A promenade?
Well, it says a mall, but yes, it is like a promenade. But, these kids are like, hey, can I have your autograph? And the kid had Fair and Play written on his arm. And, you know,
he's got rub off tattoos. I'm like, you know what? Like, where are my rub off tattoos so I can put Fair and Play on my arm?
Yeah, you don't want to do that. He was getting fucking, everybody was like, oh, look at you and your lame ass tattoos. And then Mr. Terrific says, hey, nice tattoos. In the meantime, he realizes that whatever was infecting people was starting to infect. There's particulates in the air. He sees that this is going on. He sends his T spheres off to make like a barrier against it. Grid type of deal. Again, they can do whatever. But then that's where we see the introduction, again, not the introduction, but the proper introduction of Brainwave, who comes in and just says, hey, what's going on? You know, you're supposed to be the greatest intellect on the planet. Meet your superior. And they're going to fight. Yeah, they're going to fight. And there you have the deal. It's not that interesting, though. I just, yeah, he's like, hey, my name's Brainstorm, and they're just beginning, because what he does is ends up telling everybody he can control them as well. Like, again, he doesn't have a set power, deal either. I don't know what he can do or not do. Before, it just seemed like he can make them aggressive and things like that.
It's so weird because he is this Brainstorm who does feed off of intelligence and shit like that, which he can do, wirelessly. Because you can tell because he has a goddamn Wi-Fi symbol on the front of his forehead, which is crazy, and he's blue-skinned. And then if that doesn't work, he also has wires that come out of him somehow that can hook you up and hardline you so he can suck your intelligence that way.
From the whole
the discussion, though, when we get to his origin story to, him becoming this, I don't get it.
No, it doesn't make sense of what happened. Now, in the meantime, like you said, what his major plan is, he feeds on intelligence. They don't go fully into it, but it's one of those where
he also digests it.
Humans aren't so intelligent, so what he has to do is, it's almost like a veal. He ends up making them ultra intelligent, and then he sucks that intelligence out of
them. Which also makes them ultra violent.
Yeah. Who knows? But at this point, he controls him and basically says, yep, Mr. Terrific, he's the bad guy. Go get him. And it's so much nonsense here.
He's a terrorist. He's a vigilante. He goes against your civil liberties. Go get him.
I mean, you should hear America. The things that they are calling him there. And it's weird because they have this this talking head, where on the TV she's talking about what's happening. You do see this guy from the beginning who's in the hospital now. He is getting infected again. He's screaming. But then you go back to Mr. Terrific, and they are like, he wants to take away our credit cards. What?
Oh.
That's what he wants to do. Then the terrorist. I'll bet you he's a tree hugger too. Well, God bless America seems to be.
Maybe somebody should take away your credit cards.
Yeah, it's funny too. He's like, God bless America. And then they're going and they're fighting. But you have it where you can't have Mr. Terrific fight just normal people. Nope. So they are kind of just pushed to the side. Mr. Terrific just then goes and goes full out.
He flies up, says he regroups, and then just starts pummeling goddamn Brainstorm.
Yeah, Brainstorm starts getting pummeled by him, and it's just like, a punch to the face, a punch to the gut. And he really does beat the crap out of him until Brainstorm, like you said, hardwires into him.
And this whole thing just really reminds me, this guy looks like a blue-skinned brainiac at this point with all the wires and then coming out of him and shit.
Yep. Yeah. So basically Mr. Terrific has to get rid of, get this hardline connection off. So he sends two T-Spears to get a 200 decibel burst of pure acoustic white noise. That ends up kind of knocking him out. And that's where Brainstorm gives you his background. Give me his background, Eric, while I cough.
Years ago, I was Dominic Lance, a Silicon Valley scientist working in the field of artificial intelligence. My goal was to create transhumanistic interfaces for downloading unique intellects into machines.
Yeah, I succeeded, I don't understand but an accident also
showed me how to reverse the process. Now I ingest intelligence, artificial or otherwise, wherever I find it. But like a true connoisseur, I like the fruit of my vines to ripen first. I'm like, how did you become a blue-skinned fucking brainiac dude with a goddamn Wi-Fi signal on your face?
No idea. Never says it. Never says why he's blue, why his eyes glow purple, why he can do any of this, why he has tentacles that come out and hardwire into people that somehow you could suck their intelligence off of. Nothing's explained. And then basically he says, I'm going to harvest everything in the city, and then goes to town. He sends out. And really, what he's doing in general, no idea. No idea. And really, Mr. Terrific really has no idea. Because it's not one of these things where he's like, okay, I got to stop this, this, and this. He just basically says, my T-spheres cannot contain the whole city. I can't protect the whole city with my T-spheres. So what I'll do while he's trying to infect the entire Los Angeles area, I will just send trillions of T-spheres at him and overload him with intelligence and data, AI. And
it's such a weird thing when he's trying to feed on all of LA, and we have this little montage of all over the city and shit like that, where all of a sudden, it seems like people have the Wi-Fi symbol on their face, and it looks like they just opened the Ark of the Covenant, because all of a sudden their faces are melting.
Oh, yeah.
They're getting older.
Their faces are melting. Everything's going to
town. The
cup
of Christ. I'm like, what is going on?
Yep. Yeah. Oh, it's crazy. And basically, like I said, he overloads his system with T-Sphere AI. And, but as he's laying there, he knocks him out. He actually takes care of him. And he, you know, he's already told him his name's Dominic. And Michael Holt's like, hey, Dominic, it's over. And that's where Dominic's like, huh, you know, it is Michael. And then that's when, you know, Mr. Terrific's like, oh no, he knows my identity. And for a second, it seems like that's what's going to happen because he says, you know, this Dominic then says, oh, you know what? I'm going to just tell everybody your fucking superhero days are over. I'm going to tell you. And in the meantime, I saw this little thing inside you. Yeah, I was the reason your wife died because in my first attack, I, you know, took down all the GPS systems and the systems in cars all around LA. And that's why your wife died. And he goes nuts and he starts pounding the shit out of him in a non-sexy way. He's hitting him in the face, and these kids that were
earlier, all the children are watching. The kid with fair play on his arms, he just starts crying. No, Mr.
Starts
Terrific.
Crying.
No.
Yep.
There's no
bad
fair play in this. The man's dead. You can't keep punching him.
Yep. It's really bad. It is. And in the meantime, they do a
and
cool
thing.
And
that's the best part. You're killing him. Please, man. They all have their phones out just videoing this fucking horrible, horrible
and,
shit.
And, but the thing is, the best thing about it is if you see, because of Mr. Terrific's tech, they're not videotaping anything.
Nope.
They're trying to, but it's all fuzzed out. He does explain that. But yeah, he's basically just going to kill. It actually reminds me of the one deal where, which cartoon was it when the Hamburglar came out? And then they're like, oh no, the Hamburglar, and whoever it was starts beating the shit out of him and is going to kill
I'm
him.
Sure
and
it
the
was
kids,
Family Guy.
The kids are crying. It was so funny. But yeah, really, this is where Michael Holt's just like, I'm a beast. I might be the third most intelligent man, but I'm a savage. And then basically goes back and says to Alika, like, this is it. I'm going away for a while. I don't care what you say.
Well, even before this, he just gave Brainstorm the beating of his life because, you know, first it's a big deal that he knows who Michael Holt is and all this shit.
Yeah.
And after he's done his beating because, you know, this guy caused his wife to die, all right, got to pull a T-Sphere out and I'm going to make him forget. All right, that's all done and done.
Yeah, he's awful. He's an awful guy.
When you first see this T-Sphere, he puts it on his face and then it just starts, looks like it's going into his head and actually at one point turning his head into a T-Sphere. I'm like, this is a goddamn horror movie, but it was just wrapping around and sucking the memories out of Brainstorm.
Yeah, it was sucking the memories out. So he says, I'm going to go away, you know, deal with the Holt Industries right now. I need some time. I need to think. And he goes
and
a week off.
In my mind is like, this is the goddamn sixth time this year he said this to me.
And actually sits there and says, this is why we had that goddamn meeting earlier today because of your nonsense. But then he goes off to go in the ninth dimension again, and he's kind of intercepted by these two guys, these two aliens who say, the Krill are coming, Sky Rider. And again, the way the dialogue's written, it has periods where they shouldn't
and
be,
it
so
really
you're supposed
threw
to get.
Me off for, like,
I just
how did
ignore
the letterer
it.
Fuck up this
yeah,
guy?
I ignore that shit.
Realize, oh, okay, this is the whole alien dialogue.
Yeah,
just
it's the alien dialogue. So it's the Krill are coming, Sky Rider, and only you can save us. I'm like, okay, Sky Rider.
God, that was annoying.
And so basically, the first arc is over, and they're starting to know. I'm like, really? This is moving along. But you find out, you go, and these aliens are telling you about this Krill and saying.
And I don't think their goddamn translators are working that well because, you know, they're in space. They're not in the sky.
He's the Sky Rider. And they say, listen, this Krill are going around.
Are you saying Rider or Writer? I don't understand what you aliens are talking about.
Exactly.
I don't like
this guy. I'm not doing any sky riding. Eat at Joe's. They go and they're basically saying, listen, this Krill, they're awful. They're this alien race who go around and they trap people and they force you to fight for them and they just are going to dominate the whole universe or whatever because they are in the ninth dimension. So who knows what they are or aren't or what they're doing. But really, normally that would throw me off. I didn't care because you go and then all of a sudden the ship shows up. Oh my God, they found us. And at this point, Mr. Terrific realizes this was all a setup, which again, it's so weird that this is the setup because all the ship had to do was show up anyway and take him. I guess this was supposed to show you that he's a little off his game. He might be the third smartest man in the DCU. He is not. He's the fourth.
He
you know, whatever.
Shit in the ninth dimension.
The ninth dimension, he's nothing. I was going to say he's the third smartest in the ninth dimension at this point because there was only three guys. But yeah, he ends up getting captured. He gets taken by these aliens who seem to be. They want to see what type of race the humans are, but yet I don't get what's going on. Are they trying to make him insane, or is Mr. Terrific fighting back? Because when they do, and there's a mention of this translator belts that they have so he can understand his captors, but not everybody else who are slaves or captured.
Right.
Because there's a lot of aliens that they pass going into this torture chamber type thing. And when they do go in and kind of go through his thoughts, you see that it's Horrorwood instead of Hollywood. You have all of these people.
If I'm aliens and I'm monitoring his memories at this point to see if Earth's conquerable, I see Horrorwood, all these goddamn mutant people, like how he sees Karen and shit like that, but you know, let's stay the fuck away
from this
planet.
They're all demons and monsters, and this is where I'm asking you, do you think this is him trying to you know, show them not to go to Earth? But he's in such pain, and everything that I looked up in reviews and things, because I'm telling you, this spread page, it looks cool, but it confused me so much. Everybody else was thinking that they were trying to make
like
him
think
insane.
Back, like, you know, what do you think of Alika, Michael Holt? I think she's a six-armed demon. That's weird, Mike.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying.
Weird.
And then you have this alien who's doing this research going, fascinating. I'm like, what? What is going on here? But then he gets done and they throw him in a cell. And he's in this big cell with a bunch of aliens. I mean, he's in the gen pop of this
gen
ship.
Pop, and now, like, somebody wants to prove who the fucking king of the goddamn cell is. So now it's a fucking fight for the aliens. They're
spiny.
Like, I ain't gonna be no aliens bitch up in here.
Yeah, he says that. And that there's this spined big, I don't know, it looks like a spiny anteater type of deal that's, you know, going,
know,
and they start fighting. And as they're fighting, there is an energy field, like an energy shield door, that he realizes when he throws this thing into it, that he realizes it's a hard light construct. I
and
mean,
I'm
and
telling,
now
and
you're
here
getting
comes
more
the techno
shit.
Jargon
yeah,
again.
Oh
I'm like,
God.
All right, I'm checking out until I figure out what the resolution is.
This jargon that explains all you have to do is say it's an energy shield. He's like, that kind of frequency interference implies that the force field containing us is composed of quantum optical atoms. QOAs are high velocity particles often used to create a solid barrier of hard light. It gets worse. He's like, all
according
I have to do
to
is
the
create.
Fifth law,
oh my God.
Fractal mechanics, all I have to do is create a photorefractive
quantum
well, and I could
render this force field ineffective, which is easy to do with my T-spheres, but the Krill disabled them. Hoo-wee. I'm telling you, it goes basically what he needs is a spine off this alien to use to try to figure his way through this refractive shield and then
and
also
the
use
part
of him.
Well, we have this spine. It seems like he just takes the spine that this big alien giant figures out that what Michael Holt wants to do because
yeah,
because
this giant shows up. The guy he's fighting ends up being like a minor guy and this big giant shows up, but this guy can actually he's a little more intelligent, can understand what.
He rips the spines off of this fucking monster and
off.
Gives them to Michael. And then Michael turns them into precision tools to take off his mask and start working on the circuitry.
Yep.
And
he starts working on it with his mask. He takes off his mask, which we did see was a T-sphere before made into that. And somehow, or some reason, the Krill aliens didn't think to take that mask off.
Nope.
They did disable all his other T-spheres, but not the mask. So he takes it off. He starts working with the spines from the alien on the inside of his T-sphere mask to be able to throw it at the force shield to make it basically open up and says, thank you, Isaac Newton, Eric.
Oh, God.
Boom. And they all get out. So they get out. In the meantime, these Krill, you know, now an alarm has gone off, I guess, and they're coming down. They fight these two, which is only there so that Michael Holt can grab one of their translator belts and put it on so that he
which
can talk to this behemoth.
Which I didn't even notice the first time. Like,
yeah,
that
he puts
happened.
It
like,
on.
All of a sudden, like, I'm telling you, I was so confused because I didn't even pick up the progression of this whole thing. Because, like, all of a sudden that giant's talking to Michael. I'm like, the fuck did he learn English? This guy must be really smart.
Yeah, and there's, you know, all these guards are coming, and then Michael Holt says, you know what, we're about to have company, and that's where you get this big behemoth aliens like, you lead, little one, Ordron will follow, so will the rest, and then Michael Holt says, good, because we're going to need them. But even before that, the trash talk of, you know what's worse, that scarier than a black man with an alien posse? Answer, an angry black man with an alien posse. Okay.
All right.
Well,
thank you, Michael.
At least that wasn't mumbo jumbo. I'm surprised he didn't say, you know what's worse than having a refractive black hole from the decahedron? Oh, God, need to say something else because there is a lot of mumbo jumbo. But yeah, this ends with them basically going off with a cliffhanger of them about to fight all these krill.
If you're so terrific, if I'm gonna be specific, if is kind of special word, if is a word that helps me dream with, if I imagine lots of things, no matter how strange those things may seem.
Jim here, just to let you guys know that was the end of part one of Mr. Terrific Mind Games. And if you would like to listen to part two right away and also listen to volume one of Frankenstein Agents of Shade, you can go right on over to our Patreon account and support us. And both of those episodes are already up on the Patreon. It's actually now a month in advance for the shows, and that is at patreon.com/weirdscience. And at that level, you actually would get the new 52 advanced episodes, also the weekly spotlight episodes, and things like the Cellar Dweller, possibly the Attic Animals continuing episodes that I don't know are going to continue, but other things like the Best Songs Ever podcast, the weekly show I do with Brandon, the Far Out Sports Nuts, a lot of stuff. And then there's other levels too, where each level you go up, you get more and more shows, all the way up to the badass level that gets you everything on the Patreon, plus allows you to vote on everything we do. But yeah, thanks for listening to this episode of the New 52 Review, and hope you enjoyed it.